say that we do have a little display set up in the back. My wife will be there after service. I have a few little things from Chile for sale back there. There's not a whole lot left because we're getting ready to go to Canada and we can't take things into there, so we're limited on what we were able to bring up with us. But there are still a few little things, copper plates from the mines there in Chile. I don't know if you all remember just this past year, the miners that were trapped in Chile. Chile is the world's number one producer of copper. So there are copper plates that are for sale there from Chile. You can say, hey, I got a plate from where those miners were. And don't know if it's the same mine, but same country. And then since we were in Colombia for 6 years, we still get in Colombian coffee. So if there's any coffee drinkers in the place, I think, do we have any coffee left, honey? Do we have any? Oh, she doesn't think so. I don't know. Maybe we don't. I don't know. I may have just told a lie. No, we're done with coffee. We're out. We'll have to order more. Stuff sells. But anyway, we'd normally have coffee. But so just imagine there's coffee back there. But praise God. If you'd stand with me to go to the reading of the word of the Lord, Exodus chapter 15. I am only going to preach this morning for about 20 minutes. And if my kids were in here, they'd be cracking up at me saying that. But I'm going to do it. And so I know time is of the essence, but there is a thought I want to leave you with this morning. Of course, we'll be ministering in the afternoon service. Voces unidas. Aleluya. Cuanto dice gloria a Dios. Aleluya. Vamos a tener un buen tiempo ahí en ese culto. And then tonight, we're just going to have some throwdown church. Aleluya. This tonight, forget that I'm a missionary. I'm going to do the work of the evangelist, Lord permitting. And so we're just going to have some throw down, smack your mama, run the aisle. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you need to get it, and you're going to get it. And just have some church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If that's all right with the bishop. It's all right. We're good? Okay, we're good. All right. Hallelujah. Always want to submit to the man of God and praise the Lord. Exodus 15, verses 19 through 21, the Bible says, "For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all of the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" Hallelujah. I want to speak to you this morning just for a few moments about the other side of your miracle. Hallelujah, the other side of your miracle. Hallelujah, give us just a loud shout out of hallelujah, and you may be seated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. In this passage of scripture that we just read, most of us here this morning probably know the story, how God had just brought an unbelievable miracle to the children of Israel. It is a miracle that we teach our children because it's something that really stands out in the Word of God. Everybody knows the story of Moses and the deliverance of the children of Israel, how they had been in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and how the Lord sent Moses before Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then after all of the plagues and all of the things that happened there in Egypt, Pharaoh finally relented and told Moses to take the children of Israel and get out of Egypt. And as they began to leave, and they all gathered together all the Jewish, what was to become the Jewish nation, they left Egypt. And as they leave Egypt, they come up to the brink of the Red Sea. And as they stand there in the Red Sea, I imagine that the worry and concern began to grip their hearts. And they began to wonder, how is this going to end? We can't go to the left. We can't go to the right. But we can't go forward either because of the waters of the Red Sea are behind us. And as they begin to think about this and all of this, these things to come to realization, they look behind them and all of a sudden they see the cloud of dust being kicked up by the army of Pharaoh. And I imagine fear even more so gripped them at this point. And it began to take a toll upon their faith. And the Bible says that they began to murmur and to complain. And they told Moses, they said, it would have been better if you would have let us die in Egypt than to bring us out here to be slaughtered at the hand of Pharaoh. And you know the story, how Moses goes and presents himself before the Lord, and the Lord tells him what to do. And Moses raises his staff, and the waters of the Red Sea are miraculously parted, and the children of Israel are able to begin to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. And as they get about halfway across, they see Pharaoh's army is still coming. And Pharaoh's army is also beginning to make their way across on dry ground. And I imagine that again, the fear gripped them anew. And they begin to think, it's not over yet. We could still die at this place. The battle is not over. And then all of a sudden, the last Jewish person crosses and gets across the Red Sea, all of a sudden the waters come crashing down upon top of Pharaoh and his army. And Moses and Aaron and Miriam and all of the children of Israel stood there in amazement at this great miracle that had just taken place. Finally, Miriam couldn't contain herself anymore. She grabbed a tambourine and she said she wanted to thank the Lord for his goodness. What a miracle. I've got to show my praise to my God. I can't just stand here on this side of the miracle, on this side of the Red Sea, and not do anything after God has shown himself strong. It is impossible for us to stand there with our arms folded and not give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. After we have received the miracle, and Miriam couldn't contain herself, so she grabbed the other ladies of Israel, and they all began to dance and to sing and to praise God. Everybody began to shout about how great their God was, how mighty their God was, and everyone is singing, and what a great song it is, because we know what a great God we serve. Hallelujah, they're singing a great song. They're singing the right song. But can I tell you something, Miriam? Although it is a good song, although it is the right song to sing, you're singing it on the wrong side of your miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Was God still not God on the other side of the Red Sea? Was God still not God when they stood there before the waters had parted? Was God still not God when the Pharaoh's army was still in pursuit? Did he still not deserve the glory on the other side of your miracle? Hallelujah. Did he still not deserve the glory? Hallelujah. When things were going bad, where you didn't know how it was going to work out. Does God cease to be God when we are in the midst of our valley? By the way we act sometimes, you would think that God is only God when he comes through for us. By the way that some of us act, we only give him glory and praise after we received our healing, after we received our deliverance, after we received that touch. But how about when you're still sick in your body? Is he still not God? Is he still not God? Hallelujah. When you're fighting, is he still not God? When you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill, is he still not good? Is he still not God? Oh, it's a wonderful song. It's a great song, but don't sing it on the wrong side of the miracle. You need to give him the glory while you're in the midst of your trial. You need to let him know that no matter what your situation is, he is still God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of us go through trials. That's nothing new. I don't care who you are here this morning. Every one of us go through trials. Even the disciples, the very men that had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, who had seen him open the blind eyes, had seen him heal the lame, had seen him raise the dead, went through trials. But they had that bombastic attitude that we do. The last night, the Last Supper, Jesus had his disciples to gather together. He told him, he said, this night, all of you will be offended in me. And every one of the disciples said, no, we won't. Nuh-uh. Peter, my favorite, yeah, he even went as far as to say, I don't care what all of these other dudes do, I will never leave you. They can all deny you, walk out on you, whatever, but Jesus, I'm the one that's willing to die for you. Easy thing to say, Peter, when things are going good. Easy thing to say after you had just made the triumphant entry with Jesus and you heard everybody crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. At that point, yeah, you were feeling pretty strong about yourself, saying, yeah, I'm one of his followers. I'm one of his. But let me tell you, when they have arrested your master, when he's not speaking to you anymore, hallelujah, when it's silent and you're out in the cold and you're wondering how it's all going to work out, then what was just a theory now becomes reality. And your faith is put to the test. And now when you're out there in the cold, then you find out what you thought was the impossibility has now become the probability, and that you begin to deny him. I don't know him, Peter said. I thought you said you would die for him. Oh, but I don't know him, he said. And Peter went through that trial. Oh, it's an easy thing for us to come into a red hot apostolic Pentecostal church service and say, God, I will never leave you. I will never walk out of here. And if every one of us were to be honest, you could look around here today and see people that had once said that, and once sat next to you, or once sat where you were sitting, and they made those same statements. But trials come, life happens, things have occurred in their life, and they are now no longer here because they couldn't make it through the trial. But oh, let me tell you something. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how good you think it is here. What matters is how you put it into practice out there. Hallelujah. That when you are still going through that trial, when everything, it seems like every demon in hell is coming against you, that is when you need to give him the high praise. That is when you need to begin to magnify the Lord on the other side of the miracle. Don't wait for everything to go right, because there's always going to be a battle in your life. But you need to give him glory right now in this place today. Hallelujah. The disciples. I'm just about done. I'm getting ready to wrap this thing up. The disciples were all together. And Jesus told them, he said, get in the boat. We're going to cross over to the other side. Jesus told him what was going to happen. He told him, I'm taking you to the other side. He didn't say, I'm going to take you out in the middle, let you drown, let the boat tip over, and let you all drown. He said, no, get in the boat. I'm going to take you to the other side. How many here have received a promise from God? How many here are still waiting for that promise to come to pass? Uh-huh. That's right. But let me tell you, God gave you the promise. I'm starting to get into my afternoon message, so I better cut that out. But let me tell you. So, they get in the boat. That was the only part they got right. That was it. From then on out, it just went downhill. They got in the boat. They began to cross over. All of a sudden, the waves begin to get a little choppy. The wind begins to pick up. And the boat is rocked to and fro. And instead of remembering the promise that the master had given them, what did they do? They began to panic. And they began to accuse him. They go over to him. Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, we're quick to judge him, but we do the same thing. Every one of us here, if we're to be honest, have gone through trials in our lives, and we'll ask God, God, where are you? You told me this was what was going to happen, but this ain't happening. Right now, I'm going through a trial that I never thought I'd have to go through. They had Jesus in the boat. They had the one that created the water. They had the one that created the air. They had the master in the boat with. What was the worst thing could happen? That the boat tip over and Jesus lets all of them walk on water? Hallelujah. What? Let me tell you, as long as you've got Jesus in the boat, you can still give him glory. Hallelujah. You don't have to be on the other side to give him glory. You can do it in the middle of your trouble. Let me tell you something here, church. Hallelujah. Don't you ever mistake his silence for his absence. Just because he ain't saying a whole lot to you in the storm don't mean he's not there. He's promised you that he was going to take you to the other side. Stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. Musicians, come on. Hallelujah. How many knows that our God is indeed greater? Hallelujah. I've asked them to come back before I even knew they were going to sing that song. I was singing that song on the way to church this morning, and I told my wife, I said, I want to know, I wonder if they know that song so I can have them sing it after this message. Hallelujah. So right now, I want you to declare just how great your God is. Don't wait for the good side of your miracle. Don't wait. If you're going through something right now and you want to declare how great your God is, come on. I want to open these altars up. Hallelujah, because he is great and greatly to be praised. He is good in spite of your circumstances. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He is still a good God. Worship him. Worship your way till you feel his presence.